ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC Sports coverage of NRL Sunday.
Rugby League is on your radio. ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Can our panel of ABC Rugby League experts handle six questions in 3 minutes? Can they avoid getting stuck on the fence? And can the referee, Andrew Moore, avoid going into the bunker? It's time for Six Again.
All right, Michael, you're the guest. We'll start with you. Will Reece Walsh be in the Queensland squad for Origin 2? And if so, where does he fit in?
I don't think so, unless there's an injury. I think Billy Slater showed his hand leading into Game 1. I think he should be on the bench, no doubt about that. But I don't think, unless all things being equal, I don't see him being squeezed into the side.
I think he'll be there. I think he's a must, and it would have been a difference when you had what happened to Caelan Ponga. You've got to have him and Caelan Ponga in the squad.
It's going to be interesting. All right, Gibbsy, who will be the New South Wales 5-8 for Game 2? Will it be Mitch Moses or Ethan Strange?
They'll both be in the squad. Again, we get the situation where either or, we'll see what happens with injuries and things. We'll see how Mitchell Moses pulls up. But I don't have a problem with Ethan Strange starting, Mitchell Moses starting, either or, and they'll both be in the squad, which I think's
right. Do I need to repeat the question?
Yeah.
Who will be the 5-8?
I don't know whether one's going to get injured or what's going to happen.
That's the worst Six Again answer of the year.
No,
Michael Carayannis, Ashley Klein, it appears, will be retained to referee the second Origin game. Any issues with that?
No, zero. None at all. I thought he had a good game in Origin 1. Ashley, he caught the send-off right. No issue with that call whatsoever.
Absolutely. He'll get the job and he deserves to. I thought that was one of his finest State of Origin performances. And whether he set him off, whether he went to the bin, I think we overplay that. He had a fine game.
Now, Jonty, Connor Watson is now likely to sign with St George Illawarra for 1 year, as reported by Michael yesterday. What will he bring to the Dragons?
He'll bring enthusiasm. He'll bring in, athleticism, professionalism, all of those things. A little bit of humour, a little bit of style. And joined with Scott Drinkwater and Colin Matangi. And who's the other
Luke
one?
Metcalf.
And Luke Metcalf. They could turn things around quickly. How's that answer?
That's a much better answer. I'll be brief.
Great signing.
Michael, another player of the match award, Desua Feilongo last night, the Melbourne fullback. How does he rank to other outstanding young fullbacks like Isaiah Ioni, Kayo Weeks, Tane Tuipiki, Jai Gray, to name some?
He's probably got the most upside of all of them. It's just a level of consistency that we're waiting to see at the moment. He obviously had that horror run with his hamstring injuries. Now he's been able to string some games together. He has the potential to be one of the elite fullbacks in the competition. He's not there yet.
Finally, Gibbsy, approaching the halfway mark, Canterbury Bankstown is 6 points outside the top eight. Is the Bulldog season beyond repair?
No, it's not, and I think it's shown the last couple of weeks and even in last night's game against the West Tigers that there's some upside. They were in that. They battled really hard, and I think the performance over the last couple of weeks has been much improved. So I would say if I was a Bulldogs fan, I'd still be optimistic. A long, 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 long way to go.
I think it's a long way to the top eight for the Bulldogs, and I don't think they'll be able to finish inside of it.
Yeah, I'm starting to think they can't make the eight.
I don't think they can make
well,
the
well, eight. Well, hey,
they can.
I don't think, well, they can, but I don't think they will. And I don't like the way Cameron Serrallo is coaching this team at all. I hated listening to his press conference last night where he wants to blame the referee. He wants to blame everything but his own team, who he described as courageous and all this sort of stuff. But just wanted to blame the referees. He seems to be trying to deflect from the fact that things have gone sour ever since he and Phil Gould messed with that team late last year when they were flying high. They bowed out in consecutive finals games. Things had started going south before the finals and they look horrible by comparison to the team of the first 20 rounds a year ago. They look horrible compared to the team of 2024 that made the top eight. And this fan base that they have been coming out in such big numbers, they deserve better than what they've been getting. Their only recruit this year was Leo Thompson. That's a horrible one-only purchase. I'm sorry, it has not worked out. And they didn't evolve. They had not evolved as a club. They went through all this, these new purchases a couple of years ago with all the utility players, and it worked out brilliantly. They were all terrific. It looked like a masterstroke, but they haven't continued to evolve. They got lazy from last year to this in terms of their recruitment, and I really think they're paying the price for how they messed with the team a year ago. I think that still is stinking up the joint today.
And we talk around the top eight. So these are the sides that are between them and eight spot, right? So not sides that are in the eight.
Yeah.
You've got Canberra, Melbourne, Broncos, Tigers and Cowboys, right?
Look, sorry, you were almost interrupted there. Gibbsy's
You're right,
had a coughing fit. He is the only person I know who can physically turn his mic off. Gibbsy did everything right, and yet we still heard it as if it was on the microphone.
Yeah, that was very loud.
Well, I was trying to be
soft. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay,
yeah.
You bounced.
I just thought of something funny and I swallowed the wrong way.
I don't want to know.
So when we look at the top eight, yeah. Right, and you look at Canterbury, they're 6 points out of the eight, but these are the sides that are in front of them. Right, and teams that aren't in the eight yet, you've got North Queensland, Tigers, Broncos, Storm, Raiders. They're not playing finals footy. Those teams ahead of them that aren't in the eight, right, those teams aren't in the eight, are better teams than them.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Like, I agree with you.
They're not even including the teams that are in the top eight. So in between, that's who's they've got to try and leapfrog to be in top eight contention and need sides to drop out. I can't see how they climb all those teams.
Well, they're going to have to get on a roll. And I think what they've shown in the last couple of weeks has been an improvement.
I just don't think they've got the. I don't think they've got the
I'm
cattle.
But there's going to be so many twists and turns in this back half of the competition. It's going to be fascinating.
Problem is though, isn't it? When you fall as far out of the eight as they have, six points. Not only do you need to go on a roll, but you need other teams to tumble down the hill the other way, going past you.
And they need multiple teams to do it. And I don't see. Like, Brisbane and Melbourne, North Queensland, they're much better sides than Canterbury, right? They're not in the eight as it stands.
Yeah,
I might point out that the Bulldogs did beat Storm a couple of weeks ago.
I get that.
So what percentage, Jonty, will you put on Canterbury making the eight from here? I know you're not saying they will, but what percentage if you can get your words out?
27.5.
Okay. No, I thought you had to say 22 because that's the number of the day. Now, I'm going to give the stage to you for 1 sec, John Gibbs.
Look how excited he is.
Unlike your outrageously poor six again answer to one of those questions, this is a morsel that I think has made your entire day.
Well, it's just you notice these things. Last week, the number 30 was in just about every game. But this weekend, let's go for the men. So we got the State of Origin. 22-20.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 22, right? Cronulla over Manly, 28-22.
It's another 22.
And guess what? The next game, the very next game, 28-22.
Parramatta, 22.
Newcastle over Manly, but that Newcastle over Parramatta, but it's exactly the same scoreline.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
How many points did the West Tigers score last night?
22! 22-16 over Canterbury, and then you thought it was going to get messed up, and I thought, oh, they should have scored at the end. It didn't matter, because Melbourne 18, Sydney Roosters 4.
Which equals?
At 18 plus 4, Louis, I wouldn't ask him that. I'll ask you that, Michael. What is it?
22.
That's it. That's incredible.
It's a Taylor Swift song, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. That is incredible.
And that's my lucky number.
22.
Mm. So that's why I'm excited.
Okay? Are we going to see it today? Three games.
There's a chance. I think it's you're certain of it.
Which team is the most likely? We should have put this as a six again question to score 22 points today.
No, well.
We might be a margin of 22 in the first game.
At half time.
It could be 22-0 at half time.
I'm just trying to play along here. I don't really care.
0-4-6-7.
You will. You'll be on board if there's a 22. You'll say, oh, wow. The blue micro. The universe is coming together.
You know what he'll be doing? It'll be Brisbane 22, St George Illawarra 0. He'll be on the couch with Maxie's dog saying to Clara, can you keep the girls quiet, please? Good boy, Maxie.
You can all joke about it, but wait till there's a 22. And when you talk about crystals and things, I'm not really into it myself.
Where are you going? What's going on?
A lot of people are into crystals. So get them out because it's a big day.
Beg your pardon? No one do that.
You're straight in the attack.
Do you love rugby league? NRL Sunday on ABC Sport.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Well, MC, Louie and myself were at Parramatta yesterday where the West Tigers held on to beat Canterbury Bankstown. Very entertaining game of footy, 22 points to 16. And again, playing a fill-in role, but that's underselling how well Jock Madden is going at halfback with Adam Dewey on the injured list. And we've known for several years how valuable this guy is, but he's really shining here at the West Tigers. And he's on the line. G'day, Jock. How are you going?
Good, mate. How are you going?
Mate, very well. You must be very satisfied from a team's perspective. It's been a rough few weeks with a number of players injured, and you're one of those who's had to really step up. So how satisfying was it to get that win yesterday?
Yeah, really good. Really good win by the boys. It was obviously a tough few weeks before the bye there, and obviously we got to go away for a week there in that bye week, and we come back this week and just wanted to restart it, our year off, and yeah, it was good to put in a good performance yesterday.
Yeah, it was, and you were off to a flying start, weren't you? You led, what, 16-0 after half an hour or so, but then they started fighting back at you, so it did test your resolve.
Yeah, definitely. Very good quality team the Bulldogs are, and yeah, like you said, we started off really strong there and got to a few points there, but they continue to fight throughout the whole game there, and it did come down to the last play and last minute of the game there. So the resilience the boys showed to defend our try line was very impressive.
Yeah, Jock, well done. You every time you step up, you do a good job. And as you say, you had to perform last night because you got those key players back. So you sort of, it was understandable how you would go previously, but last night you really had to aim up.
Yeah, definitely. It was just a big focus of us this week that we just need to get a win, really. So all the boys showed up there, which was really good. And yeah, like I said, it was we started off strong, but with our attack and everything like that. But yeah, it was really good to show that our defence that we could hold on at the end there.
Jock, in the intro, Andrew mentioned the fact that you fill in and you do a great job wherever you go. What's it like having to perform that role? Because You debuted with West Tigers. Then you went to Brisbane for a couple of years, played 15 games with them. You've now played 25 games with the West Tigers. And basically, they're all fill-in roles. How do you cope with that?
Oh, I guess I don't really look at it like that way, to tell you the truth. When I come in, I know I've got a job for the team there. And, for like Benji now, he instills a lot of confidence in me and allows me to play my brand of football, which is exciting for me, and I feel like it helps the team there. So, it's just good to be able to play NRL.
Yeah, well, you're always ready to take your opportunity, which you've been doing. Now, last night, I thought, I wasn't at the game, I was watching on television, but I thought it was a fantastic game. The physicality was great. The rivalry was fantastic. But what about when you nearly broke your foot? I thought you were going to have to come off. You stubbed your toe. What's doing? What's Adam? What should I say? What's Adam doing?
Yeah, I kicked the ground pretty hard. I've never done that before, and I don't know if I'll do that again. That's for sure. But yeah, it's one for the books.
What about the injuries and adversity that you guys faced as well? One fresh reserve on the interchange bench to finish the game. Were you aware on the field of how down on troops you guys were?
No, I wasn't actually. not until the end of the game there. But yeah, I guess the boys that, that are needed, that come on the field, we have full trust, and that, that's what a squad's for. But everyone played their part in what we needed to do last night.
Can I ask you about the Jerome Luai charge down penalty, mate? You're obviously a kicker. What was your first reaction on that?
Good question. I haven't actually had a decent look at it at the moment. Yeah, obviously, like, they're protecting the kickers and everything like that. There's probably ones there that you can probably go, yeah, was it a penalty or not? And you know what I mean? So it's a tough one. Like I said, I haven't really had a look at it. I'll have to have a closer look at it. But, yeah, one that we got away with, I guess.
Can I rephrase the question that Michael asked a little bit? Because even if you just forget about that moment in the game yesterday, because we said it was a traditional charge down, should have been a try, even though he did touch the leg of Jerome Luai, and Luai then turned around and chased. But as a kicker of the football, Jock, and you did a great job of that last night, Do you feel like in footy you should be pressured from the opposition? Because I know working with Luke Lewis, he says that was a big part of our job as a back rower to put pressure on kickers. Should there be no contact whatsoever with kickers? Where do you stand in relation to the game generally?
Yeah, there's obviously got to be a bit of a balance there, I feel. Like, you can put pressure on the kicker, I believe. Like, you can't be untouchable, but you got to be able to make sure they probably get in a position where you don't actually put them in a position where they can actually be dangerous, I guess. So,
have you ever been cleaned up around the legs? Because, I mean, we've seen broken legs. We know why these measures have been taken.
Yeah, a couple of times back in the day, but not for a while there. So, it's just one of those things where they're probably, you know, you got to stay consistent with the cause and stick with it.
Yeah, under the rules, it's a penalty. It's a penalty, and the thing about it is, if he had got tackled and then scored, you couldn't do anything about it. But as soon as Curran scores and it goes to the video umpire, the video referee.
You've given it a new name.
They come up with inconsistent decisions, sure, so I'll call them different names. But, Jock, soon as that happened, it was always going to be a penalty. The fact that he didn't get hurt is just luck. And
did you guys know that, though, in the in-goal area?
No, we didn't at the time, no. When we sort of looked on the big screen when they kept playing it, that's when we sort of thought that it could be a penalty because of that reason.
Because it was one of those technical penalties that Jerome Luai didn't seem to have any issue with at the time.
It had to be, but that's instinct. That's instinct. You just you got to chase. You're in the moment. But we've seen ones like that given every day of the week. But nevertheless, Jock, that's officialdom. You don't have to worry about that. You go to the same stadium next week and another step up, Penrith.
Yeah, obviously a great quality team for years, and you know they're performing really good this year. So, probably keep a close eye on them today, and I suppose we'll be ready to go again next week.
Just finally, Jock, I do want to ask you about one player. Bearing in mind that you've been at the West Tigers, and now you've come back, Alex Twohill. The rate of improvement, he's always been a good, solid player, but the rate of improvement in him this year compared to others, and his skill set just seems to be off the charts. What have you noticed coming back to the Tigers and seeing Alex?
Yeah, obviously he's always been a quality and consistent player. The biggest one I've noticed since coming back is his leadership, both on and off the field amongst the younger players, and obviously always shows with his actions, but his leadership and talk, the encouragement that he shows amongst the group and just wanting to win all the time. That's probably the big notice. Like, I always notice that he's a outstanding player, and what we see inside our four walls is probably players don't see in the cleanup work that he does for our team.
It's unbelievable.
So, definitely his leadership.
Jock, you've got more of an opportunity with your opposite seven last night, Lachlan Galvin leaving. Didn't they give it to him? Everyone would have had to have been aware of that, although he did get that try, which put them back in the game. But he got the rounds of the kitchen. You wouldn't want to be leaving.
Don't go again, Jock.
That's it. That's just, I guess, our fans, they're so passionate and they're unbelievable fans there. So, at the start of the game, he was probably getting a few boos there, but I guess that's just part of rugby league.
And, Jock, I'll also add this to you. In the 80th minute, he was still getting those boos. Mate, well done. It was a win you guys did need after a rough few weeks, but hopefully now things back on track for the West Tigers with a great challenge to come next week against Penrith. Well done, mate. You're playing great footy. It's great to see. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
NRL Sunday on ABC Sport.
Rugby league is on your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio,
and ABC Listen.
Hi, this is Chris Barth, a new member of the ABC's weekend team this year. I'm a Parramatta Eels supporter. Can be difficult at times, but I do love the NRL and I have many thoughts about it. Many. But right now, we are after your first thought. The first thing that comes to your mind when Andrew mentions the topic. And don't be like John Gibbs. It's not your second or third or fourth, fifth or sixth thought. Just your first thought. Sorry, Gibbsy.
Oh, Barthy, you should see the faces Jonty pulls. We could show them to you, but our social guy's not here. Where's Jared today? Just missing in action? Okay. Having love you, Jared, I'm only kidding. Having already visited...
Celestial party.
Having already visited the 1970s and 1980s so far this season, well, it's appropriate that he is because he's had 22 days off. Time to introduce another decade. As basic math would tell you, today we're after your first thought on the 1990s. Again, only pertaining to rugby league, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you consider rugby league in the 1990s? To get the ball rolling, my first thought, simply the best. That ad featuring the legendary Tina Turner with rugby league players recorded in 1990. And that after the campaign of what you get is what you see. It had such a huge impact on the sport, getting families back to rugby league games, which was the goal. Incredibly great decision making and execution by John Quayle at the then New South Wales Rugby League. And do you remember Tina's appearance when she performed Simply the Best in 1993? So that's my first thought, Simply the Best. How about your first thought, Rugby League 1990s? The number to ring is 1300 361 700 or text 0467 920222. Aaron Bryans is there waiting for your call, and so is Aaron Bryan, but I think Bryans is there today. 1300 361 700 or text 0467 920222. John Gibbs, you are out of the game as a player. You are into your second decade as a media correspondent. 1990s rugby league, what's your first thought?
My first thought was the test match in England, which I was there at, when Australia kept the series alive, won that second test with that amazing try that was scored. That's the first thing that came. When you said 1990s, I've gone specifically 1990 over in England. That was incredible.
That was incredible. Talk about a memorable try. You remember that like yesterday, and that was, what, 36 years ago. I think the next micro blue moon will be before, like, 36 years. Michael Carianis, your first thought, rugby league in the 1990s.
I got a boring one. I'm disappointed with mine, but it was my first thought. The Canberra Raiders.
Yeah? Was there anything that specifically came in? Was it their first comp win in 1991? Dennis, get off the talent, please. Get off the talent, Dennis. Back to the buttons, thank you.
Just their dominance of that early 90s period is probably when I first understood what I was watching as well in terms of rugby league. And, yeah, they were the dominant force in that period, obviously, along with Brisbane. But for some Canberra, that was my first thought.
Because it started for them, didn't it, in 87, reaching the GF against Manly. And then in 89, they won their first comp with that unbelievable win over Balmain. But they, in the 90s still, they had such a fun team. That was star-studded.
Yep.
All right. So Michael Carianis says Canberra. John Gibbs says that amazing test try scored in 1990. I've gone with Simply the Best. How about you? What is your first thought on the 1990s?
ABC Sports coverage of the NRL Premiership.
NRL Sunday.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Well, today we are getting to know someone who's been on the rugby league scene for a long time now with South Sydney, St George, Illawarra, and now at Cronulla Sutherland. They're lock forward. Cameron McInnes is online. We'll get to know him. G'day, Cam.
Hey, mate. How you going?
Mate, very, very well. I feel like I know you. I've watched your whole career, but let's find out if we really do. What's your nickname?
There's a few that go around. The obvious one's Cam, Macca, at Dragons. Conor McGregor was pretty big, so some of the boys called me C-Mac. Sort of, yeah, which I enjoyed that one, but the Sharks boys don't call me that, so yeah.
Did you have one when you came straight into first grade at South, or was that more basic?
Macca, Cam. Yeah, a few of the other young boys got like things like Pup and those sort of names. So I didn't get them, so yeah.
All right. Do you have a middle name?
David, after my old boy.
Very nice. What was the first job you ever had?
I was a cellarman at my godfather's pub. So, yeah, changing the kegs and, doing all that sort of thing.
That used to be a real rugby league job. In the days where players had to work, that was always listed on the TV coverage, occupation, cellarman.
It was good. I enjoyed it. It was something to do, but... Yeah, that was interesting.
Well, if it was a real job, it'd be hard work too.
Yeah. It was hard work, all the kegs and doing all that, making sure I put the, you know, the right, what do they call it, the beard pipes, making sure they went the right place and things like that. So, yeah.
That sounds reasonably important part of it all, that's for sure. What was the first car you ever had?
I had a Toyota Corolla 1991 model.
Did you love it? Did you love it to bits?
No, I didn't. Because it didn't have it didn't have any miles on. An old lady sort of hadn't been driving it, but it used to, you have to like warm it up in the mornings, and I lived near this busy intersection, and if I didn't warm it up enough, I'd stop and then have to turn right in the intersection, and sometimes it would the engine would cut off halfway through, so I had to put it back in neutral and turn it on again while cars are coming either way. So yeah, it was always a bit scary.
You learnt fast. Do you remember when you fell in love with rugby league?
I think I was always like a pretty active kid in that. I went to a daycare, and the next door neighbour, I was mates with him. He took me to footy training with him. Just my parents didn't, but he did, and I loved it. But then I think when I really sort of thought, oh, how good this was, the 2000 grand final, Roosters Broncos.
Yeah, really?
One of my dad's mates come around and we watched it, and it was that's when I realised it was a big deal, how big of a fuss they made about it, and then I was hooked after that, so yeah.
When did you first realise that not only do you love playing and you're not bad at it, but you could make a career out of rugby league?
Yeah, like, I've heard people talk about that, but I never had anything in my mind but that.
Yeah, right.
So, I don't, like, yeah, when you say when did I realise, well, I mean, I guess as you go through the ranks and, yeah, I wouldn't make all the rep teams. Like, I always made the South stuff, but in terms of school, where rep teams never got picked for any of that. But for whatever reason, I just had in my head, I'll make it happen. I don't know why.
Isn't that amazing, though, to think of the career you've had, and not to embarrass you, but the fact that you weren't making those junior rep teams?
Nah, like, I've always made Harold Matz and things like that. I was nowhere near the best player, but when it came to, I went to the Catholic school system, CCC Aussie Schoolboys, I was nowhere near. My first sort of, rep team of any level was Junior Kangaroos, and that was after I'd already played first grade. So, I was a bit of a slow burner, but, yeah, just worked hard and got there.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Yeah, so I guess, when it came to trying out those rep teams, not that it really worked for me, but my old boy would always say to me, you know, attack's attack, but make sure you're ripping in defence. Like, that's how you, you know, that's how you become like a trusted teammate or player for coaches and people that want to play with you. So, yeah, from a footy standpoint, definitely that from the old boy.
What about an achievement, Cam, that you're most proud of?
Footy or life?
Whatever you want.
Yeah, our life is definitely having the kids. That's, we're without a doubt lucky to have three of them. And, I don't think a lot of people that have kids will say it's hard to go past that one.
We are getting to know Cronulla's Cameron McInnes. What's your favourite sport other than rugby league?
I've had a few over the years. Like, I got really big into NFL for a while, but then in the last sort of few years, players move around and things like that. And then I actually watched a couple of years ago Richie McCaw's documentary, and then I was sort of just really hooked on the All Blacks after that, even though when the Wallabies play, I'm always going for Wallabies, but more just the aura of that team.
Yeah.
Become a bit of a rugby fan, to be fair.
Yeah, right. Do you have a bucket list sporting event you haven't been to that you'd like to go to?
Not really, but I'd say... You're talking whether it's a World Cup final, but that's in any sport. That could be rugby. That could be that could be soccer as well. So there's not in particular, but yeah, just those big sort of ones, I'd say.
We are getting to know Cam McInnes. What was your favourite television show as a kid? Boy, we've had some great answers to this one.
Yeah, I didn't. It's funny. I didn't watch a whole lot of TV other than footy. To be fair, obviously there was The Simpsons and that people watched, but it's more later on in life that I've got into shows. So The Simpsons is probably the best I can give you, I bet.
Who are you supposed to be?
I'm Bartman.
Never heard of him. Full price.
Oh, lousy ripper. I wash myself with a rag on a stick.
So is that your favourite all-time show? You can go down that path.
No, my favourite all-time show is Yellowstone, for sure.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
What about the big screen? Your favourite all-time movie?
Favourite all-time movie. There's a lot, isn't there?
There's a lot.
There's a lot, yeah. There's a lot. Be all day thinking about that. I like the Equalizer movies, Denzel Washington ones.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoy that his character. He's a, yeah, it's very the contrast between him day to day and then what he does to people is pretty crazy. So.
What, potatoes or a vegetable? I like crunchy things.
Carrots are crunchy. Dry seaweed is crunchy.
I'm a human, not a rabbit.
You want to make security guards, you got to lose weight, you got to test in 1 week. Now, you ask me to help you, but if you're not willing to apply yourself, progress, not perfection.
So we've all been following your career for a long, long period of time, but give us something we don't know about you. What's a hidden talent?
I'm not very, those players that, or people that, you know, they just pick things up and they're good at everything, whether it's golf, whether it's ping pong, whatever.
I
hate them too.
Yeah.
I've never been that guy at all. I've always been the guy that just tried hard in things. But one thing I really enjoyed in school, and from time to time I've done, I enjoy writing.
Okay.
It's probably from reading Big League religiously year after year, but I used to love writing almost like articles and things like that.
Really?
So, I obviously don't do it as much anymore, but sometimes when I do write, I actually enjoy writing. So, yeah.
Can you see yourself doing anything like that after footy?
Maybe. My partner's trying to push me to explore some of those avenues now while I've still got a few years left. So, yeah, maybe something I could do. I don't know. I wouldn't say I'm at any high level, but I do enjoy doing it, so yeah.
Well, mate, as you know, with your current career, passion's the main go. All right, yeah. So you're hosting a dinner party. You've got three people alive or dead that you can invite. Who are you inviting?
Yeah, I think a lot of people go for, like, people they've never met or they admire, but for me, like, I just think about one of the funnest times in my career were my first 2 years at the Dragons, and the three characters I'd want to have, it would be James Graham, Jeremy Lattimore, and Gareth Widdop. Just
Latsy's on the list.
Yeah, it's just the combination of the three of them. That was the best part of going to training every day. They're just Jeremy and Latsy at each other, and then Gaz sort of wind them up. It was that good. So, I'd love to be in a room with all them again, which is hard. They're all living lives now, retired, but those three.
Oh, you could get Latsy easy. He'd go to the opening of the door. or challenge to fight him. He'll take you up on that. No, we love Jeremy Lattimore here. Okay, what about your favourite band or singer?
Yeah, again, it obviously changes through the years, but at the moment, who would I say I'm listening to? Bit at the moment. Not too much at the moment, but Post Malone, he's just very versatile. He's started off more rap and that hip-hop, and now he's country, and he does a bit of everything, so I do like him, yeah.
Yeah, I prefer him now. What's the best concert you've ever been to?
I went to a Bruno Mars concert with my... she's not even my wife, my fiancée. We've been engaged for 10 years. But that was like probably our first year together. It was back in like 2013, 14, and he was massive at the time. So that was a pretty cool concert.
That could have been something we didn't know about you. I refused to propose.
She
refuses to say yes, one of the two.
Yeah, probably more that one, I reckon.
What's your favourite holiday destination?
We went to Fiji last year with the kids for the first like big family one. That was really cool.
Yeah, good.
But me and my fiance, we went to Koh Samui in Thailand couple of years of our relationship, and the place we stayed at, and it was just the time was unreal. So probably have to go that one.
Everyone thought in 8 years you'd still wouldn't be married, and here we are. All right, let's get to some of these quickfire questions for you, Cameron McInnes. What's your take on clowns? Great fun or terrifying?
It depends on when it is. At night time in a dark alley, terrifying. But
how many clowns are you running into in a dark alley?
So no idea.
Wow. All right, summer or winter?
Winter.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate, for sure.
Sweet or savoury?
Sweet. I'm bad sweet too. That's why all my teeth are missing.
Okay. Peanut butter. Crunchy or smooth?
I'm either all, but I reckon crunchy.
And this last one defines people, Cam, and this might determine whether you ever get married or not. Tomato sauce, cupboard or fridge?
So growing up, it was always in the cupboard at home, so I didn't know any different.
Yeah.
But then once I moved out on my own and I read the bottle, I was like in the fridge, and ever since then it's in the fridge.
Great answer. Yeah. See, at the end of the day, that's all you got to do. Read the bottle. Yeah. It's right there for you. All right. Well, Cam, get your teeth fixed. Get down on bended knee and see how we go. Mate, can't wait to see you for the rest of the year for the Sharkies. Thanks for having a bit of fun and letting us get to know you.
No, thanks for having me. Appreciate it, mate.
On Grandstand Rugby League, let's hear our man of sound, Dennis Carnahan's Song of the Week.
It's with much disappointment that I announce Andrew is leaving us to be the CEO of Tennis Australia. Andrew's going to be extremely hard to replace. We're going to need Superman and Jesus at it together.
Every time I hear it, I just can't understand why Andrew Apter walked away from rugby league land. He's off to manage tennis. Was this always his plan? The timing was a bit underhand, cause Origin filled every rugby league publication, taking all the oxygen from Abdo's abdication. Abdo's gone, he's moving on. When mid-June comes, he'll be gone. Now we wanna know who'll be CEO now, who'll replace Abdo. We wanna know.
Abdo's gone, he'll be missed. Who are we going to replace him with? Vilandi says we need someone that adds together Jesus and Superman. Jesus and Superman. Vilandi is searching across the land. Jesus and Superman. Could it all be part of Peter's plan?
Andrew's going to be extremely hard to replace. His conscientiousness, his professionalism, his loyalty. You know, we're going to need Superman and Jesus added together.
He came in during COVID, got the game back on track. He gave us Vegas, Dolphins, PNG and brought the best back. To guide us through the challenge rugby league is now facing. Peter's taking holidays from New South Wales racing. Is it temporary or will Pete try to save us? Could it be he sees himself as Superman and Jesus at those? He's moving on. When mid-June comes, he'll be gone. Now we want to know who'll be CEO now. Who'll replace Abdo? We really want to know.
Abdo's gone, he'll be missed. Who are we going to replace him with? Vilandi says we need someone that adds together Jesus and Superman. Jesus and Superman. Pete's taking Abdo's place cause no one else can. Jesus and Superman. Is Peter Jesus and Superman? Is Peter Jesus and Superman?
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.